You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Oh, man, it feels good to be back on the air. Greg, it was a long 23 hours, 24 hours, 22 hours, whatever it was. Good to see you, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Peachy keen, loving life. It's Tuesday. That means it's not Monday.
True. We are that much closer to Wednesday, which is always a good feeling.
Yeah.
Sure it is. That is Greg Bach, folks. He is coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. Mm-hmm. And just up the coast from him is me. I don't know if that was grammatically correct, but I am in Marinette, Wisconsin, in beautiful northeast Wisconsin. I am a mere couple hundred feet from the beautiful waters of Green Bay, and it is a beautiful, gorgeous, warm day here. So I'll take it. Hopefully you guys had a great day as well. Dom is joining us from Madison, as always. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. I did a lot around the apartment today. I'm feeling productive. It was another great day, just like yesterday. I'm having a really good week so far.
What is your design style for your new apartment?
In what way? Like,
what is the style you're going for in your apartment?
Like Art Deco?
Are you going for modern? Are you going for a country look? Like, you know, looking like your grandma's kitchen? Are you going?
Dom's like, I got a couch and a TV.
Pretty much.
Okay. Let me rephrase the question. And I don't mean to sound like that guy, but when your girlfriend sees the place, what does she say? Like, as far as, I can see this, this, and this.
She says this needs work. That's it. And yeah, I don't have enough furniture yet, so I really don't have a design. I plan to make it more modern, but I just don't have enough furniture quite yet to really say it has any style at all. So
You're 22, dude. Go for the shabby chic.
Yeah.
Get yourself, you know, like, except for the couch. I think a couch is kind of gross.
Yeah.
If it's been used.
Listen, I have a Jimmy John's flag, though, which I haven't put out, but I want
burn
to.
Burn it. Just burn it.
Okay. All right.
That's illegal,
Greg.
Just
burn that. You might as well just put a poster with no frame of John Belushi wearing the college sweater, and then next to that, just a Blues Brothers poster.
Okay. That'll work.
Yeah.
Do you really have a Jimmy John's flag?
I will. You know what? I'll post it.
Totally thought that was a joke.
No, I really do. I really do. I got it from my friends. Yeah, it's really good too. Nice material. Great. Great colors.
I want to go more into this, your friends who give you Jimmy John's flags. That seems very interesting as well.
Give swag as gifts at that age.
21st birthday.
We're canceling all the guests and everything we're talking about tonight. We're going to focus on this specific topic
Dude,
tonight.
That's the case. I am totally taking a powder. I'm not sitting through that for 2 hours. Knock yourself out. I'll go run some errands. I don't know if you guys are handy or not, but we have this great porch, and I don't like... You know, it's the seasons are so short here in Wisconsin, but I'd like to be able to use it through October. So I thought about buying heaters. You know, those big portable heaters you see at restaurants. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that. So we bought something unassuming, a little fire table, which can be hidden, but gives off some warmth. And I'm trying to put this thing together today. I cannot believe that places like Menards or Home Depot or whatever expect the general population to put together a fire table. There are like three tubes you can't mix up. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the handiest guy in the world, but I'm slogging through this setup and I think I got it down, but I don't know if you guys are handy. I've done a lot of bad stuff when it comes to putting things together. I put a toilet seat on once that it was up at a 45 degree angle because I put the bolts on wrong. My wife bought a table off the back of a truck in Chicago years ago and I put the legs on and the chairs didn't fit. And we got into an argument over it. She's like, that doesn't look right. I go, well, honey, this is what happens when you buy furniture off a truck because they know you're not going to complain because they're mob related. And it turns out I had the legs on the opposite side of the brackets. So it's stuff like that that has haunted me over and over.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Do these things come with instructions?
They do, and I follow them. Listen, dude, but you know, these diagrams are so like, I don't know. You have to have like bionic eyes sometimes to see they're very detailed.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. I like putting stuff together. I'm a Lego kid. So when we get something, it's always my job, and it's not a job. It's a pure blown love for me. Okay. But sometimes you do get, like I was putting together a workbench table in my garage, and the instructions that came with it were not as helpful as I think they thought they were. And I really had to, there were a couple, I mean, and I think when I put something together, I'll say I have to go back every once in a while. I'm like, oh, I missed this one thing. Right. Oh, I got to go back and like unscrew four screws and go back and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I mean, it's so frustrating. So I get it completely. That's why I always go online to try to find videos too, because I do not want to, I like putting things together. I don't want to be angry at the end of it.
Right. That's typically how I am. But the fire thing makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. Like you put a table together wrong. Okay. Maybe the table falls over, is uneven or whatever. You only used 8 bolts and 17 screws. I don't know what it is, but it can be very frustrating. But when I have time, I don't mind it, but I'm just not very good at it. I'm willing to admit that, I guess.
Hey, man, that's where YouTube always comes in handy for me. YouTube University has been a godsend.
Seriously wonderful. Has. We have a great show, folks, tonight. It is great to have you here with us on Nightlight. We have Nicholas DeGroot coming up at 5:35. How cool is this? Nicholas started a group called Ground Floor Democracy, and it's just people getting together. I won't give away everything, but in really cool places just to talk about current events and politics and have a civil discussion. So I'm excited to get into a big argument with Nicholas. I joke, guys. I'm joking. It'll be great to have Nicholas here. That's at 5:35. And then at 6:20, we have Mr. Jason Mansmith. He's been on the show before. He's the marketing director of the Thrasher Opera House. Have you ever heard of a cooler venue name than that, gentlemen?
No.
I mean, it's pretty metal.
Right?
Really cool.
Really
cool.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they haven't had metal acts there before, but they have just like a great lineup. Like there's just comedians and plays and everything. We'll talk to Jason about what's coming up in this really cool venue in Green Lake, Wisconsin. We've got a great question of the night, but first, guys, I think we need to get to something big stuff here.
Yes, indeed.
We are doing one of our great Civic Media Text to Win contests. We are in day number 2. It's still fresh. You still have so many opportunities to win. It is the Civic Media Accelerate Your Summer Multi-State Text to Win Contest.
Ooh.
Do you know how that works, Greg?
I do know how that works.
What, you only need one thing to play, right? It's the app. That's all you need, folks.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the keyword in just a moment here. Text that in on the app, and you will be eligible for a daily prize of $100 and a Wisconsin Dells prize package. Things like, a lot of stuff that you can do at Wisconsin Bells, at the Dells. Four miscellaneous tickets for experiences at the Dells. Those are just the daily prizes. And when you enter the contest, you are automatically enrolled for our grand prize. And this one's good, Greg. And I know you're excited about this. You want to tell the people what the grand prize is?
Oh, I'm very excited. The grand prize is a $250 grocery card and a $250 gas card. So all of that could be yours. And you have 7 opportunities a day to text in. We're going to be giving stuff away. We're going to be giving you, we'll be giving those prizes away 7 a.m., 9 a.m., 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7. 7 times you can enter every single time. And we wish you the best. Here's the best part too, is that if it's your first time playing, you will probably get a message from us at Civic Media to invite you to do something like follow us on Facebook, sign up for newsletter. If you do that, you'll get one extra entry in the entire contest. You can't do it every time, but you get that one extra entry. And if you enter in every single time, that is 71 entries total.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And the good thing is we can't play, so that increases the listeners. So just click on that link. When you get a confirmation link, click on that link and go to town. And what Greg just said, great stuff and an extra chance to win.
Absolutely.
And it's very easy. So $250, a $250 gas card, a $250 grocery card, get yourself some Twinkies, whatever you want to buy. There's no right or wrong, folks. That's all we need. So Greg, you know what? I'm going to let you. If you're okay with this, you want to give the keyword?
I'd love to. I absolutely
lay
love
it
to.
On us. This All right, words, this hour's keyword is Mr. Greg Buck.
Grocery, G-R-O-C-E-R-Y, grocery, as in I'm going to buy grocery with the money I win from the Accelerate. Yeah, because it doesn't make sense. Grocery is the word, G-R-O-C-E-R-Y. You can text that in right now. Good luck. You have until the end of the hour, but you only get to enter in once. But the word is grocery. We'll let you know throughout the hour as well. Remind people, folks coming in a little bit late in the game, want them to be able to enter in. But that is the keyword for this hour. Good luck. And yeah, let's get the show a rocking and a rolling then.
I was following along and you spelled it right. That was perfect.
Thank you. Thank grocery. You very much. I appreciate it.
Great keyword.
Impressive.
Yes.
Especially given our grand prize. So good luck, everybody. Absolutely. And text that in and off you go. And good luck. So, guys, we got a great question of the night, too. So maybe we should get to that. What do you think,
Let's
Tom?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
I think that means
question.
Yes.
Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
All right. So about, I would say, 2 weeks ago, there were some stories in the news for several days, really, about these 11, or I think it was at the time 10, maybe it was 12, but they settled on 11 missing scientists, that scientists that just vanished, and people that do research. And I admit, Greg, I fell for it. I was like, oh my gosh, we got to talk about this. Well, our pal Tucker, who's also our senior producer, debunked this theory in about 3 minutes and told us what happened. And there was an excuse for every scientist that had gone missing. Well, Fox News kind of ran with the story in the last day or two.
Regardless.
Didn't stop them. So that is kind of the inspiration for tonight's question of the night, which is, what is a conspiracy theory you believe? What is a conspiracy theory you believe? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app right after you send in that keyword. And if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter, you can drop us a stream comment and be part of the fun here at Nightlight on this awesome Tuesday night.
And I've known Tucker, our senior producer, for some time now, and he's great. We absolutely love him. What I did not know, and when we kind of brought this up, he looked it up. He goes, I'm also like an award-winning, I've won awards for my research. I'm like, okay, then I'm going to trust you then to do that, because he knows it a lot better than not. Because what happens is I start looking things up, and I'm like, but wait a minute. And no, so... it was a great article that we saw in the New York Times. We will put in the show notes, too, regarding the conspiracy theory regarding these missing scientists. And it really focuses on something important. And I think that depending on the conspiracy theory we're talking about, it can also lead to great harm because it affects families, it affects loved ones, it affects communities. I mean, perfect example. They're eating the cats and the dogs. A completely made up thing said by the vice president of the United States back when he was running for office. And he even admitted saying, well, it's not true, but I needed to start the conversation. So you lied. So that lie he told turned into conspiracy theory, which affected the immigrants, affected their families, affected the community, and affected the way the country looks at Springfield, Ohio. So this is a really great article. And we're going to, you know, we'll talk more about this in the second hour about what people believe and what they don't believe. But I think it was a very good read.
Misplaced information can be dangerous. No question about that. Sydney Politics weighs in on the stream and says, what happened to the hair, Dom? Did Greg and Pete make you cut it?
Yes,
we would never do that, Sydney. Great to have you with us. When we come back, we're going to tell you how many times Donald Trump tweeted last month. It's insane, folks. Or social, whatever you call it. This is Nightlight with Pete and Greg. Coming back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight, a Tuesday night edition with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach and Dom Lee. Along for the ride, holding down the fort in Madison and working the board. It is great to have you with us. I'm in Marinette, Wisconsin. Greg is in Racine. And together, the three of us make up the Yacht or Hate Triangle. And you'll know what that means if you watch us on the stream. Tune into the stream. We like to be watched. What is that? Like some kind of Illuminati thing?
Yeah, I'm taking the Jay-Z hand thing. This is a good reason to watch the live stream, folks. I'm taking the Jay-Z hand thing or the Diamond Dallas Page thing, if you love wrestling from the 90s, and make it into a triangle. It's not the Illuminati. It's the Yad or Hay triangle. Amati. No,
I love it. It's kind
thank
of
you.
Upside down. Well, there's no such thing, I guess, as an upside down triangle. But
what you just did
plays right into the question of the night, which is, what is a conspiracy theory you believe? Let us know. You can text us, stream us, or let us know on the app. But we have a caller, Dom,
and it's
our pal Greg. Can you put him through? Patch him in.
Let's do it.
Hello, guys.
Hey there, Greg. Good evening. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Dom. Good bumper music with the Sam Cooke twist in the night away, too. That's awesome.
Agreed. Appreciate that.
That's really cool. I don't know if I used to believe, but I did give, like, when I was small, which is when, you know, some of our conspiracy theories start when we are small children.
Sure.
But, you know, so if you step on a crack, you break your mother's back, you know. I don't know if I really believe that, but it gave some credibility to it. Or if you go across a black cat's path, it'll give you so much bad luck. And I can't even see whether a cat is black or not. But anyway, so that's the thing. But what I really wanted to tell you guys is this Friday night in Waukesha is going to start Friday Night Live, and it's going to be a music festival in downtown Waukesha, 9 stages or more of local live music. And so you guys should try to make it down, maybe even do a nightlight remote there sometime.
That would be really fun. I mean, I don't know if we'll be able to do it this time. That's kind of a short notice, but we appreciate the invite, and that's something we are talking about or doing live remotes for the show.
It's every week during the summer, and they were just advertising that they're going to have a designated area for alcohol consumption downstairs, so or downtown, so people can actually drink in open air. So
that's awesome, Greg. I saw your text too about how sometimes directions are in Chinese and foreign languages, or so it seems. But that awesome stuff. Glad you're part of the show, Greg. Thanks for the call, pal.
Appreciate it.
Is
he there?
A foreign language. So, but anyway, we'll see you guys later.
Have a great night,
Greg.
Thanks so much.
Have a good night.
Speaking of Greg, this is something you'll be interested in. Thanks to the, I think this was on the Daily Beast. Donald Trump set a record. Last month, he posted on Truth Social, the platform nobody ever goes to, 861 times in May. That is a record, and let me just say, USA, USA, USA. That is impressive. 861 times.
That's nearly 28 posts a day, folks. That takes a lot of work. It needs nimble thumbs. It needs a real dedication to needing attention. And what I did find out, if you brought up Truth Social, which is very funny, is that the parent company of Truth Social lost a lot of money last quarter, and their stock is worth like $8. They've only made like $3 million in any sort of profit whatsoever. They've lost like hundreds of millions
of
dollars.
Hasn't it always done poorly, though?
Yeah, it's always done poorly. Well, they always say, like, we don't make money with this, but they really don't make money with this.
So he's just willing to take a loss so he can do whatever, even though he's welcome back on Twitter, or he could do that. But
he has a Twitter account. He has Elon Musk un-whatevered him, banned him. But he truths all over the place, 28 times a day, apparently.
Oh, that's insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, but that's what our president is doing. He is only beating out a sitting congressman from Wisconsin, Derek Van Orten, for most tweets in a day. So
is that true?
Oh, Derek will go. Derek will tweet 100 times in a day. He'll tweet 100 times a day. He is a special
His thumbs
boy.
Must be huge.
Well, he'll, yeah.
He's huge.
Before we get out of here, too, really quick, this came across the wire today. NPR News is reporting this. After a judge temporarily blocked Trump's $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund, they are officially walking away from it. It has garnered no support. Republicans are not happy about this. And really, when it comes down to it, no one can really justify why anyone is going to be giving what has seemed to be $2 billion to various people who helped try to take down the government. So that fund, the $1.776 billion fund, is being abandoned.
How about that? And
yeah,
the good thing is, if you're into weaponization, the Justice Department is still doing it. Mm-hmm. A DOJ spokesperson kind of came to their defense, the people that stormed the looters. And
the traitors. They're called traitors.
The traitors, and defended them, even though they beat up cops and left the place trashed and all that kind of stuff. That's,
they pooped on the floor.
Yeah. Well, the bathrooms probably were crowded, Greg.
That's true. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's office has a great desk.
She probably has her own bathroom.
Oh, yeah, of course she
does. Ladies and gentlemen, our Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win multi-state contest is in full play right now. And our keyword this hour is grocery. G-R-O-C-E-R-Y, G-R-O-C-E-R-Y. Text that in only on the app, and you are eligible to win $100 and a nice little prize package.
Even our next guest can enter.
How about that? We should remind them that. Keyword, grocery. Text it in. Good luck, everybody. We're coming right back with Nicholas DeGroote. This is Pete and Greg and Nightlight. Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe, sitting across, or upstate, I should say, from Greg Bach. And Dom Lee is in Madison. We are the Yotter Hay Triangle. And just a quick reminder, folks, Civic Media's Accelerate Your Summer Multi-State Text to Win contest is in full swing. And this hour's keyword is grocery, G-R-O-C-E-R-Y, grocery. Text that in right now, only on the app, and you're eligible for our daily prize. Very excited to welcome this next guest to the show. He founded this great group called Ground Floor Democracy, and he joins us now over the phone to discuss this group, which celebrates civility. I love it. Mr. Nicholas DeGroote. Nicholas, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Pete and Greg.
Yeah,
oh, it's our pleasure. Tell us about Ground Floor Democracy and where did the inspiration for this come from?
Yeah, so honestly, I was feeling a lot of anxiety post-election, and I was sort of looking around at my community and figuring out what would be the best way for me to get involved. At the time, my schedule was really busy. I was a full-time student. I'm a single parent, which is obviously also a full-time job. And then I was taking my son to the park every day after school for about 2 hours. So I was like, well, I'm here in this public space every day anyway. Like, why not just open up a space for people to sit with me and talk with me? Because even at that point, I really just felt like the place where things need to be fixed the most is the way that we all talk to one another about these things that are really contentious that we feel strongly about. So I basically just did that. I threw up a whiteboard where I would write a question of the day every day, and I got a bunch of chairs, and I'd set up a few chairs, and then I would just invite people to come and sit with me. And along the way, I would just meet people who were also feeling the tension of the moment and wanting to find ways to get involved, but also unsure of where to go or where to get started. And I met people who are doing other really incredible things in the community, other mutual aid organizations and, group projects that are just really incredible. And I teamed up with a lot of them to work on different projects, and slowly I've just been weaving together with the community, and it's been really eye-opening to see how much work is really being done that like a lot of people don't see if you're not actively in those areas and getting involved with those things. So then I was thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, so like what is this about? What are we trying to do? And I was in school at the time, so I learned about this concept called commons, related to this scientist, Eleanor Ostrom. And she won a Nobel Prize for her work in this particular subject in relation to like nature commons, which are basically like community-owned nature spaces. And she basically did a whole thing about like what are the structures that are necessary to like make these kind of organizations work effectively. And so I'm just taking the work that she already did and I'm translating it to other types of things. So like, to me, there's two things in particular that I really think our democracy needs to like move forward from where we are right now. Mm-hmm. Really like three, but the two things that I think need to be built that don't already exist are first a civic commons, which is what we're trying to do with Politics in the Park. I think a Politics in the Park is the first program of that civic commons that we're trying to build. And then another example would be like a media commons, where it's sort of a community-owned media group that's driven by the concept of civic journalism.
Yeah.
So I would ideally like to work with some community journalists who are already doing work in the community and try to come up with workshops and things that we can teach people to, you know, go out there and produce news, but like do it more disciplined than how it's currently, you know, getting out there. And I think if we give people the tools, we can, you know, build a more reliable system for supporting our democracy. And then sort of the third thing is like helping organizations that already exist build democratic structures within them so that, you know, a lot of people I think really get into sort of the nonprofit space with like all of the best intentions at heart. And then like a generation will go by and they're no longer in charge of those organizations, but because of the way that they're built now, kind of one person gets to decide all these things about how the organization operates. And, you know, it sort of creates this drift towards, you know, authoritarianism, even on the small scale. So ideally what I would like to do is help support the small democracies that will hopefully allow our large democracy to function better.
Well, I mean, it sounds like quite a plan from just simply taking your kid to the park to where you're at right now. I want to bring it back to the original time, though. You know, you go to the park, you put up a whiteboard with a question. What were the first feelings toward, especially, you know, with social media out there? How apt were people, or how bold were people to come in and actually have a conversation? Or did they say like, what is this? Like, can you tell me before I actually say anything? What were those first times doing it like for you?
Yeah. So this has been a like fascinating journey, even from like my own perspective, because I can tell you that like putting up a sign and just inviting anybody to come and talk to you does instill like a lot of anxiety from the jump. Like you're like, oh, I don't know who's going to come and try to sit down. Like, am I going to have somebody who's, you know, really crazy and dangerous try to come up to me right away and cause a scene? But like it just hasn't materialized that way. And what I found is that like there's definitely some apprehension, but like people are pleasantly surprised when they sit down and start having a conversation, and there's almost like an apprehension for it to end. Like people enjoy the time that we do it. And for a while, I even had like one gentleman who just like regularly seemed to be showing up to like take part in it. I actually haven't, we took a break for the winter and I haven't seen him in the new year, but what I have had is, so like last year, there was a lot more days where it was just me sitting by myself in the park for sure. Yeah. But this year I've had only 2 days of the days that I've been out there where nobody has been with me. Like most days I have at least a couple people show up and sit down and talk.
That's our great guest is Nicholas DeGroote. He is the founder of Ground Floor Democracy. He gets together with people in parks and encourages conversations, civil discourse, something that we could all use more of for sure. Nicholas, one of my biggest dislikes for social media, specifically Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, is that it allows people to remain anonymous. And they're always full of courage when they don't use a real picture or their real name, and they say really hateful things. Have you had, but I found that not to be the case. Like when you're talking to people face to face, it's about, you know, problems in our towns. Like how do we get water, pay for the pool operation or whatever. It's much more mundane. Have you encouraged any people with vitriol or that are that angry like they are on social media when it comes to sitting face to face in a park?
Well, and like what you're saying is like at the heart of like why I chose to do this the way that I'm doing it, because like I think the thing that needs to happen is we need to get off of the social media and get mm-hmm. back to the in-person. To be honest with you, I don't even know what the percentage is on the amount of people on the internet that are actually people and not just bots that are designed specifically there to be outrageous and to get mm-hmm. the clicks and stuff like that. So like I have not had an experience like that out in public yet. That's not to say that like I don't think that it ever will happen, but like for the most part, like even the people who come in, there are people who come in like they're ready to have a debate. Like that's what they're expecting. They're expecting yeah. that I'm going to argue with them about a particular point. But then once they realize that that's not really what I'm doing, there's always like this shift to sort of like, I don't know, a calmer light. Like we're just here, almost like we're on the same page already, even though we haven't even really discussed anything.
I think that's the problem is people, well, I don't want to say the problem. That's, you know, people come in with their guards automatically up high, ready for anything. And then you have to sort of talk them down and be like, nope, we're just here to have a conversation. We're here to find out what the connective tissue between us is. And that's where my question goes to, you know, you've had a lot of conversations. You talked to a lot of folks. What are the connective tissues, the things that really worry people out there? I mean, I don't want to say regardless of who they voted for, but when you break things down, we have families, we have jobs, we have things we have to pay for. What are those points in our lives that make us more connected than divided?
Honestly, I think that like people would be surprised the extent to which across the spectrum, people mm-hmm. want to be there for one another. Like, especially when people are going through hard times.
Yeah.
Like, I've never had anybody sit down and talk to me, regardless of their political affiliation, who didn't want to see somebody who needed help get help.
That's a great answer. Yeah. Have you thought about setting up a subsidiary to Politics in the Park called Politics in the Dog Park, Nicholas? Would people be even more calm under those circumstances?
I actually, you know, the dog park in Oshkosh is not a terrible idea for a spot to like set up one day.
It's like those puppy interviews with celebrities. You like if there's a heated discussion, bring in some dogs.
Oh yeah.
If you do though, absolutely. I want a taste. I want some commission for that.
I'll keep you in mind.
I do have an actual question for you. We've got about 2 minutes and we have to do a break and then we'll come back with more with our guest, Nicholas DeGroot, the founder of a Ground Floor Democracy. But has this like inspired you at all to become even more active in your community or even run for office?
Not run for office, but be more involved in the community. Absolutely. I think that like in a lot of ways, we put a lot of stock in politicians and their ability to do things. But to be honest with you, when I really thought about it and I had even considered the possibility of running for an office, like what I really came back to is like, the truth is that the power resides in the community. And at the end of the day, like that's where I want to be doing my work is as close to the community as possible.
Great answer.
That's where the most important work is being done. And that just like before we go to break, that leads me to my thought is that we are in an election year here in Wisconsin. We're voting for local leaders, and that's where a lot of that great work is happening. So those conversations happening at the local level, and we're voting for people who want the jobs in our city councils, county boards, things like that. It's very, very important, Nicholas, what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you
absolutely.
Very much.
Oh, there you are. All right, Nicholas, we will. We're going to break. We're going to take a really short break. We'll come back and we'll have a few more minutes. Nicholas DeGroot is our guest. He is the founder of Democracy, Ground Floor Democracy, and he joins us now over the phone from Oshkosh. We'll have a few more minutes with Nicholas. Just a reminder, folks, our keyword for this hour in our Accelerate Your Summer Multi-State Text to Win contest. We love our contests here at Civic Media. You just have to have the app to play. That's all you need. This hour's keyword is grocery, G-R-O-C-E-R-Y, grocery. Text that in and have a chance to win $100 and some tickets for a Wisconsin Dells experience. You'll automatically be enrolled in the grand prize drawing too, a $250 grocery card and a $250 gas card. We are not eligible, Greg, but
no,
we're still having fun. We are coming right back with Nicholas DeGroote. This is Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach and Nike.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is like literally one of my favorite Croce lyrics. Dom, you're amazing.
No worries.
I know we give you a hard time sometime about hair and conspiracy theories and such, but you're crushing it, man. Thank you. I am Pete Schwabe. He is Greg Bach, and the other he is Dom Lee. Folks, we are the Outer Hate Triangle. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. It's great to have you here. Our question of the night is, what is a conspiracy theory you believe, if you have one? Share that with us on the text line. And while you're there, get in on our Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win multi-state contest we're doing here at Civic Media. You still have a few more minutes to get in this hour's keyword, which is grocery, G-R-O-C-E-R-Y, grocery. You must text in on the app to be eligible to win $100 and miscellaneous tickets at a Wisconsin Dells for Wisconsin Dells experiences. We've got great daily prizes, great grand prize of $250 for a grocery card and $250 for a gas card. Something we could all use. So good luck, everybody. Text those in, and we will read your texts regarding the question of the night after the news at the top of the hour. Right now, we're in interview mode. Greg, we have a great guest. Nicholas DeGroote is here. He's telling us about his organization, and he is the founder of Ground Floor Democracy, Politics in the Park. That's what he does, folks. He goes to the park, has a seat, presumably by a swing set or something, and talks to people about the issues of
the
day.
Nicholas, we should go to a park and talk to Nicholas.
I would love to do that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What if we went there and acted like bots, though?
Well, I would have to get my robot suit. I'd have to get my lights all lit and practice my robot walk. Like, bleep, morp, bleep, morp. No one landed on the moon. Bleep, morp.
Nicholas, I was reading
it. I think that would bring more people in.
Hey, we just want to help you get the butts in the seats. That's why we're here. In a recent article, you said you were a political science student at the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh, and you were eager to attend political and academic events, but you looked around and saw donors, university administrators, professors, and students required to be present for class, and you felt out of place. You went from there to doing what you're doing now. Why did you feel out of place in college?
I don't know if out of place is necessarily the right word. I think that like college is just built for a very particular kind of student. And like, I wasn't that student because I'm 30 years old and I have a kid and other responsibilities outside of, education being the regular part of my life. But also I had to be a full-time student in order to, get the full Pell Grant and stuff like that. So I think the system is really set up in a way that's like not ideal if you're somebody who's trying to return to school and you have other things going on in your life that make it difficult to make school your number one priority.
Yeah.
Interesting.
As someone, Nicholas, who went to college again later in life would be to most people, I went back when I was 26. Got a degree in political science. Yeah. It is very hard because people are really excited. Oh, you're going back to school, but there's really not a lot out there to like make it easier to do what they want you to do, which is get that diploma. It's tough. I mean, like full-time job, kid, full-time school, that's three full-time jobs. I don't know how you'd find the time.
Yeah. And I mean, that was it, right? It's like, and that's like everybody's life is like that. And then, to try and tack on an extra thing of like, hey, come and be more civically engaged. I totally understand why people like hear that and they sort of cringe away from it. But I think that we're just sort of in this moment where it's like, even those of us who like are living these incredibly busy lives already, like we have to try and eke out like even a little bit more room to be more civically engaged if we want to start to see things moving in a more positive direction, because it's pretty obvious to me that like we're just headed in a bad one. And if we don't do more to take the reins and shift us into a more positive direction, I don't know where the cliff is. So we'll see what happens.
Nicholas DeGroot is our guest. He's the founder of Ground Floor Democracy. He hosts meetings in the park, very casual meetings where people talk politics and issues and come together. A great idea, and it's been a success so far. I want to ask you, Nicholas, before we let you go, we've got about a minute and a half or so. In this article I read about you, you said you felt like you, after the first couple of meetings, you had to start facilitating or guiding the meetings, which makes sense to me. And one of the questions you asked the attendees is, if you could change one thing about your local government, what would it be? I'd like to ask you that same question. What would you change?
To be honest with you, I'm a really big fan of sortition, which is random lottery, as a way of doing governance. I think that local government especially could like do a lot to introduce sortition, even not necessarily completely to the city council, but even a portion of the city council being chosen by sortition, I think could really do a lot to change our democracy and change the way we think about how regular people can do government.
I think I know what that word means based on what you said after it. But can you explain to people listening like myself who might not know?
Yeah, so it's just instead of people being elected into positions, there would instead be a random lottery of the people who live in that area to be chosen for those positions.
That's bold.
I love that.
I would be totally down for that. But
totally. Yeah. All right, Nicholas, Greg and I might surprise you one of these days and crash one of your parties here in the park. But in the meantime, keep up the great work. Thank you for spending time here with us tonight. And you're making a difference. I think it's fantastic. Thanks for being here tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks a bunch, guys.
All right. You got it. That's Nicholas DeGroot. I think they have a website, Greg. I should have asked.
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes if you want to check it out.
Perfect. All right. You have about 45 seconds, folks, to get in the keyword for this hour's our multi-state text to win Accelerate Your Summer contest. Grocery, GROCERY, grocery. Text that in and be quick. We are coming back to read the responses to your question, your answers to the question of the night, and we will have Jason Mansmith here, too, in hour number two, telling us what's happening at the Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're night lighting. It's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach and the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.